Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. the affected, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. So at this time, I just want to say a short prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God, is worth.
Amen. Father, please help me see the things I need to change in my life. Amen, amen, and amen.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Thank you. worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Be the center, say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Come on.
Jesus, be the center. It's all about you.
Yeah.
Come on.
We lift our hearts.
Amen. Jesus be the center of my life. Dear God, thank you that I'll never have to journey through life alone. I know that you see me and will always be with me. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's be like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
he's in control.
He's in control and he knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory
cause. I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in him and I live, move, and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what, the problem may be,
he's in control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for he is my king.
Him I live, I move,
and
him
I live, I move, and have my king.
Say like the best of people.
Best of peace.
Come on, lift them up in here. You're in control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move, and have my being.
Say that again. No matter what.
No matter what. The problem may
come
be.
Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory.
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live.
If you believe that, sing this with us. Let the people. Come on, lift him up. bless you.
Amen. It is now time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, In the Way You Hear. The scripture reading for this message is coming from Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9. And it says, You will call, and the Lord will answer. Amen. Do you ever fear that as you are seeking God, you may not be able to hear him? If so, remember, God has spoken to people at different times with various methods and in diverse manners throughout history. Hebrews 1:1. Think about it. God communicated to Moses from a burning bush, which not only caught Moses' attention, but also showed him God could do the miraculous in Exodus 3. Likewise, the Father spoke to Joseph through dreams, Genesis 37, 5 through 9. To Elijah, in the sound of a gentle blowing, 1 Kings 19 and 12, and to Joshua through the mighty captain of the hosts of the Lord, Joshua 5 and 14. He spoke to each one in a special way, according to whom he was speaking to and what he was revealing. He is not limited in how he communicates his plans to us either. The God who knit us together in our mother's womb knows the best way to get our attention and declare his will to us. The Father knows what we can handle, what we are prepared to hear. And the best way to reveal it to us. Therefore, do not fear a failure to hear. Rather, rejoice in his ability to speak. Amen. To God be the glory. Jesus, I am so grateful that you speak to me in the way I can hear. I rejoice in your loving kindness to me. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection. I pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music. Amen.
How your love will never fade. can't describe your glory divine, but as a token of my love, this is what I'll do. I'll lift my hands and cry,
holy,
you're
holy,
Lord, you're holy.
Turn my back, yet I hear the voice that I must obey. If you want to live,
angels from heaven above, for his presence is in the room. A touch from his anointing knocks me out. I open my eyes, I'm on my back. The healing power breaks all demonic attacks. I lift my hands on high with tears in my eye. I worship El Shaddai.
Listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Jehovah Elohim, in the account of the heavens and the earth, when they were created, you are featured prominently as the creator. From your creative mind came the concept. From your loving heart came the reality. From your mouth came the words that spoke the earth and universe into existence. I stand on ground that you have spoken into being. I breathe air that you determined would enter my lungs and give life to the cells in my body. I honor and adore you for your creative power and genius. Lord, you are worthy of all my praise. Amen, amen, and amen.
So the Word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. You might be in despair, but the Word says, anything you ask in Jesus' name will be given unto you. Thank you.
since the beginning of time. And he was born. Of a virgin into this life. Oh, he
manifest.
Yes, he did.
for your spirit, give me anointing, so I can have power, asking for more.
Amen. Jehovah Elohim, I confess I don't fully understand or grasp the true magnitude of all you have made. Everything is perfectly created so that we all live in a natural circle that sustains itself and produces life. But you are also intimately involved in your creation. You are not only Elohim, but also Jehovah. Forgive me for failing to honor you at the highest level, do you? Forgive me for neglecting to show you the respect you deserve. Pardon my heart when it selfishly seek to take credit for something you have created and planted in my own life, such as my skills, gifts, and talents. Jehovah Elohim. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now I will pray out for a sweet hour of prayer. Jehovah Elohim, thank you. Thank you for all you have created. Thank you for being mindful to put beauty in the midst of your creation. Thank you for being mindful to give me the ability to appreciate and enjoy what your hands have made. Every day is a gift from you. You send the rain to water the ground, restore life where it has become dry. You tell the stars where to hang in the sky and call the tide when it is time to rise. Thank you for the magnificence of you, who you are, and for allowing me to glimpse even a fraction of that magnificence through your creation. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. And now we are getting ready to go into our word for this evening. And at this time, I will play a selection. And after the selection, I will come back with what thus says the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory. My God is able. Hallelujah.
And is able.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able. Amen. He's able. Hallelujah. My God is able, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able, yes. Oh, I come to let you know, oh, that my God is able, yes, he is. Yes, my God is able. I think you don't know. I said, I come to let you know that the God of our power, he is able. Yes, he is, yes, he is. Able to set you free, set you free, set you free, set you free. My God is able. My God is able. Yes, I know he's able to heal you now, to heal you now, yeah. Oh, my God is able.
Sing it to the heaven.
I came to let you know that my God is able, yeah. To set you free. Yes, my God is able. I came to let you know tonight, in spite of what you're going through, that my God is able. Able to set you free. Oh, yes, my God. Came to let you know, my God is able.
Your neighbor, tell him he's able.
Able.
Go and say he's able.
Able.
He's able.
Able.
Say able.
Able.
Say able.
Able.
Say able.
Able.
Able. Able. Able. Yes, he is.
Able.
Oh, able.
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 No matter what you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose. And is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord. Call on his name. Cause he's able. Cause he's able.
is able. Able to release you, able to set you free, able to heal you, yes. Able to deliver you, able to rescue you, able to hold you up, able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He's able to make way out of no way. He's God that makes something out of nothing. Hallelujah, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is, yes he is. Oh, I know, I can't let you know that my God is able. Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise. Somebody give him glory. Give him worship. We worship you, Lord. We bless the name, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, there is none like you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship. We worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
Amen. You are able, and all my hope comes from the Lord. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew's chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 24 through 30. Amen. Praise God. And I will be reading from the New Living Translation. And this verse Jesus tells the parable of the weeds. Now, here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. So here in these parables, Jesus gives the meaning of this parable in verses 36 through 43. Now, all the parables in this chapter teach us about God and his kingdom. They explain what the kingdom is really like as opposed to our expectations of it. Now, the kingdom of heaven is not a geographic location, but a spiritual realm where God rules and where we share in his eternal life. We join that kingdom when we trust it in Christ as Savior. Now, the young weeds and the young blades of wheat look the same, and cannot be distinguished until they are grown and ready for harvest. We, which are the unbelievers, and wheat are the believers, must live side by side in this world. God allows unbelievers to remain for a while. Now, just as a farmer allows weeds to remain in his field, so the surrounding wheat isn't uprooted with them. Now, at the harvest, however, the weeds will be uprooted and thrown away. God's harvest, judgment of all people, is coming. We are to make ourselves ready by making sure that our faith is sincere. Amen. Praise be to God. As an old cynical cliche says, if God is God, he's not good. And if he's good, he's not God. Now, if these words seem to apply anywhere in the Bible, it is here. Although couched in a different literary style, that of a parable, the endless question is echoed. Why doesn't God do something about all this evil in the world? As after the first parable, the parable of the sower, the disciples needed Jesus to explain the meaning. Jesus readily obliged them. In fact, he did something that we hesitate to do in exegeting, which is E-X-E-G-E-T-I-N-G, exegeting, parables. He gave multiple identifications, listing six persons or things with symbolic meaning. This parable borders on allegory. Amen? Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful that your divine power protects us and your divine resources provide for our needs. We pray for forgiveness where we have sinned and for faith to believe that the way of life you have shown us will work even in a crooked and perverse generation. We give back to you a portion of the money that you have enabled us to earn. We do not offer our money as a substitute for the dedication of ourselves, but as a method of channeling our efforts in a practical way toward the preaching of your good news to those who are enslaved by sin. Bless us as we give. Use our gifts to your glory. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen, amen, and amen. And now, Father God, move self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord in Jesus' name. My text for this message is coming from Matthew 13 and 30. And it says, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. And my title for this message is Only God Knows, and He Refuses to Tell. Now, the six persons or things with symbolic meaning in this parable borders on allegory. Number one, this parable in history. Now, the Donatists of the early 4th century used this story of Jesus to reinforce their position for a pure church. All right? Let's see what that word means. Okay, a Donatist, a member of a schismatic Christian group in North Africa, formed in 311, who held that only those living a blameless life belonged in the church. They survived until the 7th century. So that's what Donatists of the early church, 4th century, used this story of Jesus to reinforce their position for a pure church. Now, they justified separating from the early Catholic body. Now, on the grounds that holiness is not merely one of the church's basic characteristics, but the essential one. The exclusive trait, of course, they say, hypocrisy might live somewhere within the church. Hypocrites might live somewhere within the church. But when people are plainly living out of harmony with the principles for which the church stands, the faithful in Christ must withdraw from them or be defiled. The purest, like the poor, we have with us always. Martin Luther had an interesting thought, slightly inconsistent approach to this parable. He claimed that the church may exclude heretics, but not kill them. Now, the state may do both, he said, because Jesus prohibited Christians from uprooting tares. He did not forbid the civil authorities. Benza, a friend of John Calvin, went further and challenged Luther. He argued that the parable does not deal with church discipline, for the church had not yet been formed, and therefore both church and state may use appropriate punishment in dealing with the heretics' tares. With this reasoning, he justified the burning of Seretus. We must pour a little salt on such interpretation. Nonconformists and zealots in all generations have continued the argument and struggle. Too often, we take any heresy and justify it with the text. Now, let's be honest. Number two, what does Jesus think about all of this striving to vindicate our position? Can we not imagine him looking with grievous and incredulous eyes and wondering why people feel honest when they forge fanatical weapons? From his simplest words about eternal life, one scholar said, with tongue in cheek. Now that some people are more religious than God himself. Okay? You got a lot of religious fanatics out there. To some, perfection seems so biblical. After all, God has placed in our hearts a discontent with anything that is second-rated. Now, when national life loses its idealism, disintegration comes rapid. If we need anything, we need to keep within us a sense of our destiny and refuse to compromise by accepting shallow substitutes. Now yet, the drive for perfection can easily turn into an overbearing intolerance. Jesus presented both sides of the picture, and we must be honest enough to realize that our zeal came. Now, if we are not careful, become a projection of our own ego. Only rarely do people so wholeheartedly embrace evil that they are entirely beyond the influence of good. Likewise, most people have within their motivation a pride that can become a satanic tool that will, unless cared, is exercised, become an instrument of self-destruction. We should keep our convictions strong and our spirit sweet. We should seek as best we can, in the words of Henry Van Dyke, to act from honest motives purely. Why not do it now? Okay? So why not do it now? Weeding out wrongdoers is a popular method of dealing with evil. Although Jesus refused to sanction it, his followers have practiced it in all generations. This method, however, as dangerous as it is foolish, think a moment, and you will see why Jesus refused to approve it. For one thing, we do not have enough wisdom to distinguish wheat from tares. Amen? Now, many times, a movement which at the outset seems to be a menace actually turns out to be a blessing. Another reason to avoid this method is that it endangers the wheat. Now, if the tear puller is weak, in Matthew 13:38, where it says, the field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. Amen? So he begins to set himself up as a judge of his brothers. When we pull up the tares, we are in danger of pulling up the wheat that grows beside it. Now, if you have ever chopped wheat near corn, yes, you know how easy it is to cut the corn also. Absolutely. Now, the tares and wheat are so interrelated that it is difficult to pull up one without doing injury to the other. And furthermore, tear pulling is negative, and God's kingdom is never built on an anti-program. Praise God. A building demolished firm in a large city advertised, "We can wreck anything." Perhaps they can. But God's people are not in the wrecking business. We don't wreck people. We try to build them up. Tear pulling smacks too much of being judgmental and with no constructive program. So let God handle it. Number four. Now the Christian must take the future on faith. It is hard, of course, to see the wicked prosper while the righteous are in pain or poverty. Seeds, however, require time to reveal what they are. And at the start, we simply cannot do much about it. God has reserved some things for himself. The mystery of evil is not a mystery to him. Wicked people do not usurp his sovereignty. Judgment will come in God's time, because God will not endlessly tolerate wrongdoing. Amen. So, what Jesus did not say, let it be underscored again and again, that Jesus now nowhere advocated compromising with evil or wicked people. He was not suggesting any form of truce with weeds, because he knew that human peace can never be harvested by a reconciliation with treachery, hate, lust, or greed. Jesus knew, on the other hand, that many times, perhaps always, the only way we can find peace of mind is to accept life the way it is and try to do the best we can with it. Amen? Do your best. Wickedness shocks good people, and our righteous indignation is raised often, even if we are too tender to struggle against entrenched evil. We would be naive to hope for any field without weeds. Life lacks a lot to make it beautiful all the time. We cannot, however, afford to drain our energies in combating every iniquity that we see in someone else. We can't. It's hard. So we leave that to Jesus. Now the fruit is the proof. Number six. Many times in life, we cannot distinguish between the genuine things and those that pretend to be real. The world offers many substitutes. Advertising often suggests that something is just as good, and people fall for this line. If we are not careful, we will think that people are actually doing what the advertisers claim. The plain, unvarnished truth, however, is not in the advertisement, but in the delivery of the goods. The thing that comes from a tree is the best definition of a tree. An apple tree does not produce oranges. Blackberry bushes do not produce strawberries. Wisdom comes when we study the past. We need to learn lessons from those who have gone before and make an honest effort to apply them in our lives. And sometimes we are told the world is different today, but the burden of proof is on those who make such statements. Human life is short, but history is a long story that gives a broad basis of judgment for every generation. If history proves anything, it affirms that the weeds are always gathered into bundles and burned. Harvest time comes. We must never pretend there is no difference between wheat and tares. But we must be careful about taking it upon ourselves to distinguish between them. The sorting out belongs to the Lord. Amen. And as I bring this message to a close, though the main thrust of this parable is a warning against premature weeding, another application cries for attention. When Christ comes with his sickle and crown, surprises are in store for us. In another parable, Jesus spoke of separating sheep from goats. Now, the main question for us is whether we ourselves have had a personal experience with Jesus or whether we are one of the tares. Are you a phony? This is a sharp question, but we need to ask it of ourselves every once in a while. Amen. Have you ever said of a person, I wonder if he has really been saved. Why not turn the spotlight on yourself periodically? This is perhaps the greatest thought from this parable. I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Only God knows, and he refuses to tell. Amen. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen? And my benediction for this evening is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So always remember, when you are planting a garden and you plant good seed, but when you go to that garden the next morning and you see weeds growing with your seed, do not pull them up. Leave them until they are fully grown. And once they are fully grown, then you separate them, the good from the evil. Amen? Praise be to God. Praise be to God. God bless you and thank you. First Lady couldn't be with us this evening. She's in Brooklyn and she wouldn't have made it back in time. So here I am, giving another word to God's people from God. God, only God knows, and he refuses to tell about the weeds and the tares, or the tares and the weeds, amen. Sometimes you get a little mixed up. So I just want to say God bless you.
The weed and the tares.
Yes, the weeds are the unbelievers. The weeds are the believers and the tares are the unbelievers.
Are you saying weed, W-E-E-D?
Yeah, weed. No, you know, like meat.
No, listen, it's wheat, the W-H-E-A-T, separated from the weed, W-E-E-D. So you allow the weeds to grow with the wheat. Otherwise, you're going to pull up the weeds and they're going to, you know, you're going to miss your harvest.
So okay, the weeds and you're right. I see it. Thank you.
No, right. The weeds and the tares.
Yes.
The tares is the, are the evil people and the wheat are the believers.
Yes. Amen. Thank you for that clarification, because I kept saying weeds. Oh, boy. Yeah, wheat. And
don't blame it on your glasses.
No, no, not the glasses this time. I'm blaming it on the mouth, because the mouth know what it wants to say, but it ain't bringing out what you want it to say at this point. Now, I don't know why I kept saying weeds. And then I add an S to it. It's weed. W-E-E-D.
Yeah.
Yes. Weed. Not weeds. Okay. But anyway, God bless you all. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you too. We meet again tomorrow at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose will come and bring a word from the Lord. Hopefully. Amen. So God bless you. Have a wonderful evening, but I'll be prepared just in case. Amen.
Yes, I just want to say before you leave, I spoke with Apostle Mother Wiggins today.
Oh,
she sounded good.
She
sounded stronger than she did when I spoke with her like a week ago or whatever that was. So she said she's doing better. She's sitting up with the therapist, you know, when they allow her to a little longer. And she's coming along. She does have COVID. She's asymptomatic, but she's feeling a lot better. So, praise God. We want to just keep her in prayer.
Yes.
Keep her in prayer.
Yes. Praise be to God. To God be the glory.
Yes.
So you want to take us out in prayer?
Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again a few of your humble servants come together to say thank you.
Thank you
for allowing us come together this evening. Came for a lesson, but we got a message instead, and that was good. So we thank you for the reminder that we can't be the judge of anyone. We don't know just by looking at a person whether they are going to be saved or are they already saved. We can't. We don't know if they're weed or tares.
Amen.
So God, please give us the strength to hold on and to allow them to mature, because they can change.
Thank you.
God, we just thank you for your anointing, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, your unconditional love, your generosity, your compassion, your favor, your kindness, Father God. We thank you for your providential care, for looking out for us, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you for doing all that you're doing in this season of our lives. And we know we can't do anything without you. So I'm asking that you bless everybody on the line, all of our listeners. Special blessing to Evangelist Hilda and her family.
Thank you, Lord.
Special blessing to the Wiggins. And just continue to heal those that need a healing. And God, that's all of us. Whether it's mental, physical, financial, spiritually, relationally, any way that we need to be healed, Father God, we appreciate you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. We can't take any of it away from you. And Lord, we just thank you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Because you're just great. You're awesome. You're wonderful. Words cannot even say how you are. You just, you're everything. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, and we love you. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And
yes.
Again, we thank you, Lord. We love you so very much.
Yes,
until
we
meet again, to God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
All these blessings to God in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for that wonderful prayer. So,
oh, God bless you, too.
Love you. Have a wonderful evening. Oh, the thing last night was absolutely beautiful. At one point, I got kind of scared because I thought that he wasn't going to, you know, Simon.
America's Got Talent.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Simon is something else.
I'm glad you watched it, but he was right, too, because
they
are a choir. They're not dancers. Like, maybe they can dance, but that's not what choirs normally do. So when he said, can you do anything else? Do you have anything else?
Mm-hmm.
She said yes, and so they sang Amazing Grace. But he did the right. I think he did the right thing. A lot of people were saying, oh, that's Simon, that. No, they are a choir. They're not coming on as dancers. They did all right.
But anyway,
but the bottom line,
they got the four.
The bottom line, if I can just add, the bottom line is that they are very good. And for whatever reason, they weren't at their best in my estimation last night. But, I think they will get another chance. I'm still hoping and praying for them. And I was telling somebody, God willing, I'm going to follow them because I want to vote for them when the voting opens. This was the audition. If they get to come back, I plan to try to, you know, follow them and vote them in because they deserve the opportunity. They are good.
Yes,
but last night was not their best.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
One of the songs that they sung at the concert.
Right, but you know what? They weren't prepared because they didn't know Simon was going to say, do you have something else? You know?
Right.
So they probably rehearsed. And the Amazing Grace is on an album that they have.
Uh-huh.
All right, so that was, but they said they had a track, and he said, no.
Nope,
do it
no
acapella.
Track. That's right.
Right, do it acapella.
That's
so
what choirs do, you know? Some of them don't even have music. Right.
That's our complaint about the music. So thank God they did a wonderful job.
It could
have been better.
Yes.
But they got the opportunity and they got all three votes. So that was great.
But I like
the last act. I don't know if you stayed on for the very last act.
Yeah.
Okay, when they got the automatic gold ticket.
Oh yes. They were like, wow.
Yeah.
They were awesome, though. They really
were.
Yes.
Weren't they? Jolene.
And the lead sister, the one in the middle, oh, my gosh, she has such a beautiful voice.
She did a good job. She did a good job. They were wonderful. So they go straight to the winner's circle. No more auditioning. And we'll see.
Yes, we'll see.
Thanks again. And if you can follow them, that would be great, you know?
Yeah. Every so often I look at America's Got Talent, but I don't really watch it religiously every week.
Like myself.
But if I know somebody special is going to be on there, then I'll watch it.
They do have some talented performers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't mind seeing them, but that's really not what I like to watch. But I'm going to try to keep it in on my schedule. So God bless you. I have another program at 8 o'clock, so I'm just going to say God bless you.
God bless you. See you on Sunday.
And thank you for a wonderful message this evening.
You're welcome.
Shalom.
I hope and pray that it touched a lot of people's hearts this
evening. If they heard it, I believe it will.
Amen. From your lips to God's ears.
Good night. Shalom.
Good night. Love you.
Okay. Love you
and
too.
And on that note, we are leaving out on All Belongs to You.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.